Welcome back to LA Confidential. My name is Chauncey Talese, and I'm the Los Angeles editor for SportsLondon.com. It's a great website for all your West Coast sports needs. Enter promo code LA Confidential for 10% off. Today we're going to be covering the NBA trade deadline and all the Lakers drama that I've been putting off for months because the Rams have made me happy until Sunday. I'm joined by Sports Audente's Lakers beat writer and co-host of the West Coast Mix and Bounce podcast, Leslie Torres-Valadez. How are you?
Hello, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. You know, yesterday was my birthday, so Rondo making that shot right at the buzzer made me so happy.
Oh, congratulations.
I know. I mean, it would have been nice if Magic could have gotten, you know, the brow as well, but, you know, Reggie Bullock and that other guy were great, or were not bad gifts. And I guess it's good that they kept their young core for now, but we'll get to there.
Oh, yeah.
So you actually get to go to a lot of these games. What's the vibe been like pre-trade deadline?
So I work for a Latin American publication as well as doing stuff with Sports Audente. So I'm kind of at the games. I'm in the locker room. The vibe has kind of been a little bit low since the last time I went. The last game I attended was the Lakers versus Clippers game. So LeBron James was actually played and they won. So that was great. But you can kind of tell that the vibe is off when LeBron is not there. And then you add on top of all the rumors and stuff. So when I went and they got the win versus the Clippers, it was all good. But then now I kind of feel that the vibe was off, like you said, with the trade rumors.
Well, that picture at the Pacers game kind of, like, it didn't say it all, but it kind of does.
Yeah.
Where it's LeBron at the very end of the bench, and the younger guys are kind of, like, away from him.
Oh, yeah, that picture. Yeah. So you can kind of tell the tension that the trade deadline and the rumors have created. And I guess if this is what the Pelicans wanted to do unintentionally or intentionally.
Oh, no, it was intentional.
It was done great. It was done very great because it kind of created that tension, like we used to.
Oh, yeah.
You can even tell it started when they played the Warriors as well. After in the locker room, there was the altercation between Luke Walton and Michael Beasley and all these other players.
Allegedly. Yeah, Michael Beasley, by the way, no longer a Laker and probably no longer employed.
I wonder if this had something to do with it.
Well, I mean, it helps that Michael Beasley is an easy contract to move to, but I'm pretty sure it made it easier knowing that he got in Walton's face.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. You can already tell the tension was there since that game.
Right.
And all the rumors leaking of who's being traded, who was on the block or not. So I think, and then like you said, now the trade deadline is over. We got a great win last night, Lakers, for your birthday.
I know. Thank you, Rondo. It was nice that it was Rondo that did it too.
Oh, it was like a dagger to all the Boston people.
Well, there's whatever. They're still high off that Super Bowl, which, you know, I'm talking about next week because I just couldn't do it this week. I just couldn't do it.
You know, the funny thing about me is I'm also a Patriots fan.
I don't get that.
By the time I figured out, you know, like, oh, the Patriots play in Boston, it was already too late for me.
That didn't make you feel dirty at all? Like,
no, I just went with it. I'm like, I'm just let it be.
Okay, that's like being a Boston. That's like being a Patriots fan, but you also really love the Knicks. I don't get that. I can't.
So what happened? Okay, I'm gonna tell you the story then. So what happened was that? So I started watching football, and I said whichever team wins is gonna be my team.
Sure.
Patriots won, and then after that I was like, okay,
which game?
New England. I must have been either a Chargers game because I'm in LA, so I think I only get like Chargers, Raiders, 49ers games.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the Patriots won, so it's like, okay, cool, New England. I was like, well, I don't know where that is. Mind you, I was probably like 10, 15, you know, young, didn't know nothing about geography. Mm-hmm. And then I come and find out that it's in Boston. I'm just like, well.
Yeah. And you didn't switch? You're just like, you know what?
No, I already bought a jersey. I already watched too many games, too much time. I just let it be.
I mean, I'm sure on the other side, they think that was weird, too, that you love the Lakers and the Patriots at the same time.
Yeah.
Those Boston people are territorial.
Yeah.
Even more so in L.A.
It's hard to understand me.
Anyway, I don't want to talk about the Patriots anymore. They've made me mad since I was 13. I can't do it anymore.
Are you sure? I can go on and on.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can. And you will get up many opportunities too in the future, because Tom Brady's not retiring until he's 60 and Belichick's dead.
I think so. Sounds about right.
Anyway, back to the Lakers. So with the Anthony Davis thing, I'm kind of baffled at just how badly, Rich Paul and Clutch played this whole thing.
Yeah, it was. I think they thought they had a chance, or I don't know what they were thinking, but both of the sides were not there. And it kind of all started when LeBron James kind of became a Lakers. So they both put like two and two together, you know, they both have the same agent. And
Davis signed later though. Like, he wasn't with Clutch yet.
By the time LeBron James became a Laker?
Yeah, I think it was like they reported it. I want to say it was like around the beginning of the year. It's like, oh, that's weird. Davis is with Clutch.
Oh.
I think they really underestimated the Saints. Well, they're owned by the Pelicans are owned by the same family that owns the Saints.
Oh, okay.
I think they really underestimated how not basketball oriented those people are. So they don't give a shit if you're gonna hardball them, because they have Davis for a year and a half anyway. So they don't feel compelled to trade him.
Yeah, especially like all the offers that were leaked,
mm-hmm.
supposedly purposefully. So
right,
and then you kind of hear these offers. You know, you get Kuzma, Ball, Zubac, Beasley, Stevenson, and picks,
and then they still don't go for it.
Yeah, and then they still don't go for it. So you kind of felt like the Pelicans were kind of trolling the Lakers at this point.
Well, LA had no leverage.
Yeah,
they really didn't, because the Pelicans could just wait till June and then field offers for Davis, and at that point the Celtics can like unleash their war chest on them, or if the Knicks want to, they can as well. I mean, you know, like other teams can get in on it, but the Lakers had no leverage going in, except the, well, you don't want to make LeBron mad, do you?
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know about the Celtics. I don't know about the Knicks. What kind of packages they can offer? That can beat that mega offer that the Lakers were offering. Mm-hmm. That was a lot.
You know this? Oh, sorry, God.
No. It was so much to offer. I wonder. I'm wondering, what can the Celtics or the Knicks kind of come up with?
You want to know?
That's gonna be at that same level. I don't think there's gonna be.
So the Celtics have they have a whole bunch of young guys they can give. Even Tatum was allegedly being offered, and that's a huge piece. They have a whole bunch of picks from other teams. Like they have an unprotected Sacramento pick. I mean, that isn't looking good now. I think they have a Memphis pick and something else. They have a bunch of like random picks in the next few years. So they can offer a huge picks package, plus they'll probably make any of their young players available. And could even take back salary if they have to. So, like, you know, they could offer Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart if they wanted to. Like, their whole team is pretty much flexible, and the Celtics wouldn't lose depth. And then the Knicks have, you know, they can offer Knox. I think they can offer Frankie Smokes. And they have an unprotected pick that's going to be – or they have their own pick, which is probably going to be a top five, so you might get Zion. And if you're the Pelicans, you need another star.
Yeah, but yeah, it makes sense. But Anthony Davis said, you know, that this is the top teams that he wants to go to. I think he added the Knicks onto that list.
Mm, he was full of shit. Unless the Knicks really, because the Knicks are in a weird place. Because like they're gonna basically have no major salaries next year. So that's why all the KD and Kyrie rumors are lurking. But, I mean, Davis, they could be in play, too, if they really just wanted to go for it, and then have one more max space for, like, Kyrie if KD doesn't go there. I mean, that's kind of why they traded Porzingis, too.
Oh, that's true. Yes, that's true. That's true.
Because then DeAndre's $20 million comes off the books at the end of this season, so they'll clear that space out, and then they can trade their pick if they think they can get Davis.
Yeah. No, yeah. At the end of the day, the Pelicans are going to make the trade that kind of suits them, right?
Well, yeah.
And the Lakers were giving them, like, you know, what I think is a pretty great deal. But if you're looking at it from the Pelicans staff point of view, you kind of get a sense that although this trade would have been nice, you're still going to help another Western Conference team
if you do
Anthony Davis with the Lakers. Yeah. And then at the end, you're giving Davis what he supposedly wanted. Mm-hmm. So from the Pelicans, it's like, yeah, it's a great deal. But if we don't do it, we kind of win with it too.
Right. And then they also probably saw that the Spurs didn't cave into Kawhi. They're like, all right, you want to go to L.A.? Let's do that. Oh, you're just kidding. You're going to Toronto. Where we know you hate the cold.
Or same thing with Paul George. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that I'm wondering, there's something else. So I don't know. Paul George must have really liked Oklahoma City or was told he couldn't sign in L.A. because of all the tampering stuff. But that's, we'll never know. But with the Pelicans, like, they played it the way they had to. They know that they control Davis. But also, like, the Lakers' young core hasn't looked great for most of the season since LeBron's been out. So they're probably thinking, like, well, why don't we just basically want to import the 2017-2018 Lakers? Because they already have Julius Randle. It's like, why are we trading Davis for a team that, like, topped out at, like, 36 wins last year?
Yeah.
Because that franchise is kind of, they need a star because even with Davis, no one really goes to games.
No, that's true. But do you see Jason Tatum being a better star than, let's say, Kyle Kuzma?
I would say right now, yeah, because he, you know, carried the team to he was a big star in the playoffs last year. And a lot of people think he has, like, you know, a higher ceiling. And, you know, Lonzo, Kuzma haven't really been in those kind of games. Even Ingram hasn't been in those kind of games. Like, that's sort of where people are leaning, because they've, like, we've seen Tatum in the playoffs, so we know what he can be. Whereas everyone else, you're just kind of waiting for them to, like, really break out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think Lonzo Ball was having a pretty good stretch before he got injured.
I know.
So I think by that time, everybody was kind of believing again, like, oh, yeah, he's not messing up.
He's not a bust.
There you go. He's not a bust. Thank you for finishing my sentence.
No.
So like then, but then he goes and gets injured, and then you start to be like, oh, well, now he's out of our radar again, so we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
And then you have players kind of like Kyle Kuzma, who's kind of good, but then he was out, rested mm-hmm. a couple games due to a hip injury. And then when he comes back, he's all stiff and not so great. But then there's games like the one he had last night against the Celtics, where he was shooting really well, especially in the clutch moment. So it's kind of like inconsistency from the Lakers' young core.
Yeah, whereas Tatum, look, I hate Boston, but Tatum's been pretty consistent since he's a rookie. Like, he's just looked the part. So he inherently has more value because he hasn't been really up and down as much. And, you know, also, like, Ingram is the same way. Everyone keeps waiting for Ingram to, like, put it together, and it just hasn't quite happened yet, at least not on a consistent level.
Yeah, I think that's the key. That's what you said, like, consistency. Like, there's some games where Kuzma is great, and then there's some games where he's not. There's some games where Brandon Ingram plays great, and then there's some where he's just, like, not there. So consistency is key. But I say consistency is key, and then I feel like last night's game was so great. Especially when you have Kyrie saying some, like, these really nice words about Brandon, like, how he's being guarded by him, that he can't even lie, that this, like, some defense is great. And so it kind of makes you think, like, well, what is he doing? What, like, is it really true?
Well, Kyrie's kind of a weirdo in a lot of ways, so he probably just doesn't care. It's like, why can't I compliment my opponent? It's fine, even if we lose. But also, it has been a little bit, like, Kyrie's more been linked to the Knicks, but, you know, there's some a little kind of whiff of Lakers chatter too, because he said he'd like to play with LeBron again someday. So maybe some of it's that. I mean, that would be nice.
I think LA would be in fire if that happened.
I would pretend the earth was flat if Kyrie was going to be good for the Lakers. I'd pretend.
Definitely.
LA, you know, that's sort of the thing. Like, Kyrie's also a weirdo, so he probably even was just impressed by Brandon Ingram and just wanted to, and felt compelled to say something. So it could just be nothing. It could just be nothing. And then, you know, Lance has been playing okay here and there. You know, McGee's been here. It's been a very up and down stretch, especially with LeBron out. Now, I do wonder if LeBron's able to, like, salvage any kind of relationship with any of the young guys now that, you know, there was trade rumors for the last 2 months. I mean, Ingram got LeBron's going to trade you a chance at the free throw line. That can't be great.
Honestly, I feel like at the end of the day, it's not really LeBron's fault. You know, it's the I mean, as a player, don't you want to play with the best players?
And if you're not
at the level, then you got to go. But you can't put all that pressure onto LeBron.
I can a little bit because of LeBron's history. And it just seems like everywhere he goes, it's always like there's always just a lot of bullshit. Like when you think about like before he left Cleveland the first time, there was a lot of, you know what, these guys, they're not doing it for me. And before you're like, OK, yeah, I can see that this roster kind of sucks. Then you get to Miami and it's still like a lot of mess when he leaves. Like he legitimately made Riley mad and he went back to Cleveland. And then all the stuff with Kevin Love and basically making him a punching bag for 2 years. And there's always Kevin Love trade rumors. Bosch was a fall guy. And there's constant just chaos and movement because you're like, oh crap, well, if we make the wrong move, he's going to leave. Then you end up making the wrong move anyway. And then he leaves anyway.
See, I disagree with that.
Okay.
Like, I see what you mean. I see it, but I don't think it's his fault. I feel like the people around him or around the team create that environment or create those rumors or create that tension.
He puts it up there,
though. LeBron's fault just because he's such a great player.
No, he's a great player who unofficially is a part owner of Clutch, so that doesn't help. Like, it's never been proven, but it's kind of – everyone kind of knows, like, he runs a lot of that, which is a big no-no. And it just seems like, you know, he and Rich Paul are best friends. And it just, with him, it just seems there's like a lot of pulling the strings, which is fine. But, you know, sometimes when the strings don't go your way, you have to salvage the situation. And like, you know, if I'm a player and I know like the last 2 months, it's just been like, where is he going to go? Is it going to be New Orleans or somewhere else? It's like, well, this sucks. Like, why do I want to play with you if I know you don't want me here?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I've never really played, but I feel like if they're telling you you suck and that's what the reason why I want to play with you as a player, I would be like, well, you know, maybe I should be better. So somebody as great as LeBron wants to play with me. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like it's only LeBron. This storylines, they only happen around LeBron. There's other players that are great. And no one's blaming trade rumors or trade.
That's because they're never out there, though. Like, you look at the Warriors. Sorry, God.
I didn't hear that.
even with all the drama with KD, there's never been talk of, like, well, look, I mean, he never, like, says anything that sounds like that he wants Draymond traded, or no one ever said. They just seem tight. They yell at each other, and it's fine. Whereas with LeBron, it's always like, you know, look, we're not doing the best we can out there. And then stuff leaks about either tensions with Luke Walton, which we'll get to, or... You know, I don't know, like, you know, Brandon Ingram would be a nice trade asset. And it just seems like there's always an air of, like, chaos around LeBron. And a lot of that is on him.
I don't think it's on him. I think it's created.
He never squashes anything. That's the problem.
Why does he have to squash something that he didn't create on his own? If the letting people think that this is going on, no matter what he says or do, they're still going to think the same way.
If he were to, it would carry weight though, because like even in the Cleveland years, if he'd been like, you know what, I'm gonna play it out. He was always very vague with his free agency plans. If he said, you know what, I'm gonna play out to the end of the year and we'll go from there, rather than like, you know, I don't know, we'll see what the future holds. Like kind of holding the Cavs hostage, and he kind of did that with Miami too, a little bit, like especially towards the end.
I mean, that's how he is as a person. I mean,
I know
all that televised decision, you know, so it's like he kind of holds out for anticipation, but he shouldn't be blamed for everything that surrounds him. That's
not
just
everything. I mean, you're right. At any point, Magic could have been like, could have easily said, you know what, like we're not trading all of our young guys for Davis. We'll take our chances on him either in the summer or when he's a free agent. But with LeBron, it does seem like when he gets there, he wants to control everything, which is fine, but he also doesn't do a good job of doing it like low key. Like for me, I would have loved it if he'd been like, you know what? I wouldn't want to trade these guys. I love playing with these guys. They're good, you know, just building them up rather than just kind of being like really passive and like, I don't know. I mean, it's a business.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. But if then he doesn't say that, then Anthony Davis doesn't want to come to LA because, like, well, LeBron James doesn't want me. So who are you willing? Are you willing to kind of side with on this? I would say the better player, which is Anthony Davis.
The example for this is, like, you know, he never said he wanted, like, Wade and Bosh to come with him. It just sort of happened. Like, they just played it low key. Like everyone says the genesis of that was at the 08 Olympics and they kind of all started talking. Like, whereas the Davis is super overt that we want Anthony Davis, even though there's no guarantee you'll get him. So if you don't get him, it's got to make the rest of the team kind of feel put out. Because, like, no other team really does that. Like, you never really see, like, you know, like I said, the Warriors, like, there's never been, like, well, KD doesn't really want Draymond around or vice versa, so maybe we should trade KD. They just kind of, like, we're just going to keep playing and work it out, whereas with LeBron, there's always an air of uncertainty, and if it's not his fault, he doesn't certainly try to make it better. And you can kind of see it on the court every once in a while, too.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like, every player is different. They all have their own personalities.
And they're also young.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. Maybe that's why they feel, or people feel, that LeBron James is masterminding everything, just because he is older, more wiser, better player.
And so he runs the league, basically.
Yeah, so, I mean, unofficially. But I don't know. I just feel like they put so much pressure around LeBron James when he's just literally, like, just playing and being great.
But when you have a young team, and he knows this because he's played with a lot of young teams in his day, you can't make them feel like they're fighting for their job every single night, because they need to also get better. Like, you could, if it was, like, you know, people who are more his contemporary, he can kind of do that because, like, whatever, I've been here before, I've been around the block. Whereas these guys are, like, Ingram's what, just turning 21? Lonzo's 20? I mean, it's really hard, and that's, like, their first gig. Like, that's their first major job, because they obviously weren't working while they were in high school and stuff. So, like, it's a mental thing.
No, yeah, I see where you're coming from, but
being again, asked
I feel like that lies
time.
More on management, like Magic Johnson and
Rob Pelinka,
it does on LeBron James.
True, but I mean, if LeBron carries a lot of weight, and obviously he's like the biggest, he's still the biggest star in the league, so he does kind of have a little bit of a responsibility. Like, if it's like, you know, I don't know why you guys are asking me about Anthony Davis. My teammates are Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart, and Kuzma. Like, I'm committed to making these guys better. Like, at least throw that out there so it doesn't make it worse, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
And even with the Luke Walton of it all, like, LeBron's career has been centered around coaches getting canned, seemingly because LeBron just doesn't want him around anymore. So that's another thing with Luke. And I do give the young guys credit, because whenever Luke seems to be, like, in a tough spot, like when LeVar came out of hiding and was, like, talking all that shit, they stepped up against the Celtics. Like, you know what? We play hard for Luke, and they played hard for Luke last year.
Yeah. Yeah, from what I've seen, I think that Luke is doing the best he can with what he's been given.
Yeah.
And even without, before LeBron James coming to the Lakers, I think he was doing a pretty good job developing them and, you know, winning games. And now with LeBron, dynamics have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something, I guess, that they either both have to get used to, just because, like you said, they are around the same age. So it's kind of like more of a respect thing. So I feel that maybe LeBron James thinks he knows stuff, and Luke Walton feels that he knows stuff. So it's kind of like maybe a butting heads, and they have to find a way to communicate. Or if not, you know, if it's not Luke Walton, then who could it be?
There was a really dark rumor that there was a lot of Jason Kidd chatter, and I don't understand that either, because if you know Jason, do you remember Jason Kidd's coaching, how his last two coaching stops ended?
No, tell me.
Okay, so he gets hired in Brooklyn. They have an okay first year, because that was the year they made that really bad trade with Boston for Garnett and Pierce. Uh-huh. Then they get into the playoffs, losing the first round. That's fine, right? That's great. He hasn't been playing hard. But then he stabs management in the back and tries to take over. He tries to take over the Nets, and then they give him like the control of the front office, and then he ends up like ghosting him and going to Milwaukee. After all, yeah. And then he's in Milwaukee, and he has Giannis, and he has, you know, those young pieces, and it just doesn't go anywhere because they were a stagnant team. And then Kidd also had a little like ownership stake in the Bucks too. And then eventually they got tired of him. So they gave him the boot.
Yeah, like, I don't know why they would come up.
I don't either. Like, I don't know who's leaking that. Maybe it's just Jason Kidd leaking it. I don't know, but his team's underachieved. Like, I think he might have made the second round with Milwaukee one of those years, but they just weren't good. And it was like when Mark Jackson was coaching the Warriors, like, you knew there was a better team to be unlocked and Kidd wasn't the guy to do it.
Yeah.
And with Luke, like
the Lakers, it depends on them and what kind of game they're having. Every time there's a bad game, there's always like the fire Luke comments that come out. Uh-huh. And you know, and I say, okay, that's I always think this, like, okay, that's cool. Then who is better and available to replace him?
That's right.
And
that's
silence. I'm like, exactly. I like, find me a better coach who's available, and of course I'm with you. Let's fire him.
Exactly, but like it was, you have Jason Kidd. Everyone keeps trying to get Mark Jackson to come back to coach, but that wouldn't work out. Like, I don't think Mark would do it. Well, I mean, he probably would do it. He probably really does want to coach again, but it's like I don't see him being a good fit for that because I don't know what kind of team he would run. And that's the thing. Like, even when LeBron signed to LA, it was always like, okay, when's he gonna get Luke fired? Because that's what happened to David Blatt. That's what happened to, I think, his first, like, two other coaches in Cleveland, like Mike Brown and that first guy, I forget who. It almost happened to Spo in Miami, but Spo, you know, fought tooth and nail and, like, he earned their respect. So maybe Luke can do that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a chance for Luke to earn and for LeBron James to have mutual respect for one another, just because from what I've seen, the younger players do respect Luke.
They love Luke. Like him.
They do have a connection, yeah. So I feel like maybe it's going to be like a whole team thing where they're like, they kind of get LeBron James on the Luke bandwagon if he's not already on it, you know. But as people, as like I've said, as players, as coaches who are very close in age, they feel like they can talk to one another as they do because they are so close in age. But, and so that kind of creates tension.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like LeBron James just has to kind of get on board with Luke as the rest of the kind of team already is. But does not mean like, you know, he's a perfect coach and there's not things that I feel that are questionable that he's made. You know, sometimes I feel there's some questionable lineup choices or times where he didn't call a timeout that I probably would have, you know,
right.
But that doesn't mean like, let's just fire him. It's just you learn from it, and maybe if he has this kind of style of play or coaching, maybe we need to switch it up a little bit, and maybe that's where James can be like, you know what, maybe you should do this, or maybe, and then
maybe if he didn't get hurt and missed all those games, he could have gotten into a better rhythm, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and then we also have to take into consideration, it's like their first year, so obviously they're not all going to mesh like in 2 seconds.
Right.
We would love, as a Lakers franchise, like, story, you know, they all got along, they won championship, it was all great and butterflies, but it's not. You have to give them time to kind of get to know one another, you know. And
he's not even the only piece.
Yeah.
Because they lost Rondo for a while. I mean, then they've had to integrate Lance and JaVale, Beasley until yesterday. And then they're going to have a whole new team again next year, basically, either if they trade everybody or a lot of those guys are coming off the books so they can sign someone else, maybe. Like, that's the hard part. And then there's a whole pressure of, well, we got to win now. Like, LeBron only has X amount of years left, and he's going to be, you know, he's a free agent in 3 years. And then, you know, maybe we have to win a championship, or what was it all for? Like, that's like the other part of it, too, is like the expectations were sky high because you have LeBron. And Magic didn't do a good job filling in the roster around him because, you know, they didn't really get a lot of shooters, which is why they traded for Bullock.
Yes, yes, definitely. So they're fixing their mistakes that they created last summer by not signing, like you said, enough shooters.
Or keeping Brooks.
Yeah. In hindsight, it would have been great to keep him.
It would have been great. Because look at what he's doing in Milwaukee. You're like, damn, they let him go for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, but like you said, they did the actual trade moves that they made kind of helped them.
Mm-hmm.
They would have not been in this mess, like you said, if they would have kind of dealt with it in the summer.
Yeah, I wish they wouldn't have had to give up Zubac, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, he was playing. He was also, like I said, he was getting into a rhythm, playing well. But yeah. But I from what I've seen and from my research, Mike Muscala, who was traded to the Clippers from the 76ers on Wednesday.
He's had a journey.
Yeah, he's pretty good at, around the rim, perimeter shooting, and he can open up the lane, and that'll be a lot of help for McGee on the rim protection. So. Theoretically, it can work out great for the Lakers.
Right. They just need they just have to stay together for a nice stretch. I mean, there's only a little less than 30 games left, and they need to get if they can probably get an eighth seed if they don't go on a losing streak again.
Yeah.
Which would be good for the guys, because they need big game experience. And fine, as an eight seed, it's going to suck because you're probably going to get swept by the Warriors or lose in five if you're lucky. But it's still experience that they need. And then they can just try it again next year.
Yeah. No, yeah. And then hopefully do a better job next year covering every piece of the floor.
Yeah, I know. And like the Lakers, it's with them, it's just been a lot. It's been a huge mess even with the last couple of years because – one, you had the is LeBron coming drama, and then now they have the LeBron's here and LeBron wants his way drama. I just think, like, I really wish they could just go on a nice stretch of this. There's no drama, no LeVar Ball, none of that stuff.
Yeah, if only they could just be healthy with no drama. I wonder what kind of team we would have.
I don't know if we'll see it this year. Then again, maybe the Boston thing was a blessing in disguise, and they all kind of had to work out their differences and just be like, all right, Bron, we're here. You're going to learn to play with us.
Yeah, I think so. And I feel like since at least they got through one little hurdle of drama, now they can get on to the next one. You know, hopefully get Lonzo back soon. We'll see.
Okay, what's the ETA on him?
What happened?
So what's the ETA on Lonzo returning? What's the timetable?
It was 4 to 6 weeks, but if he stays long, it might be more than 6 weeks. And now I think we're in week 3.
Okay. Well,
so we still have at least maybe after All-Star break.
That'll be good. Like they could use him back. And then he and LeBron has never really gotten to be able to get in a groove yet because one or both of them have been unavailable.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's something that's going to work out great. That's what when they signed him, I was like, oh crap. Like LeBron and Lonzo's just going to be lobbing it to LeBron. He's going to be just getting him to all various spots around the court because he can still do that. He can still play defense really well. He just can't shoot yet.
Yeah, that was the matchup I was waiting for, and it just kind of never happened. I wanted to see those passes from Lonzo to LeBron, you know, just because of all the great things that Lonzo can do on the floor, and it just never really happened.
I know, and then I kind of wish they would have kept Randall instead of bringing in, like, McGee.
Yeah.
Because they let Randall go for nothing.
Randall's doing really good with the Pelicans, yeah.
I know, and you know what? He was in a couple trade rumors early, but then they just decided not to get rid of him. Because he's only on a 2-year deal anyway, but still, like, man, like, Randall would have been a lot better in that lineup. And then they probably wouldn't have had to get Tyson Chandler at that point, but still, having Chandler has been great. Like, he's someone that they needed.
Yeah. No, see, but I think what I had to do was with the money.
True.
Right. So, yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I think if they would have kept Randall if somehow for cheaper, which was not going to happen.
Yeah.
But so they had to kind of give him away to just create that space for free agency this summer.
They wanted 1 year, guys, so that they can all just fall off. And it's like, oh, cool. Kawhi's available or Kyrie's available.
Start all over. Yeah. Start all over every year.
Get another star and then we'll figure the rest out, which is not a bad strategy. It's just been hard for the Lakers to get a star. Like even going back to the late Kobe days, like nobody wanted to go.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of interesting because I'm wondering, like, you know, it doesn't seem like people enjoyed playing with LeBron outside of, like, Wade. And even then it was kind of bumpy. So I'm just wondering if that's part of it.
I don't know. I mean, KD doesn't want to play with LeBron.
No, he doesn't, which it's unfortunate. And we already know Klay's not going to leave. And then KD, if he leaves, he'd be going to the Knicks.
Yeah.
And then,
so, I don't know. I think they're just scared of the pressure and the greatness that comes with LeBron James.
Well, they look at Kevin Love and they're like, Jesus, do I really want that for like 2 or 3 years? That's a tough coach. Well, because look at Kevin Love. Like, man, every time the Cavs lost, like, that was the first person they turned to. Like, Kevin Love, he just didn't have it tonight. Or, like, you know what? Or, like, when LeBron's like, you know, Kevin needs to fit in instead of fitting out and all that stuff. It's like, I think players are like, I don't want that for 2 or 3 years. Screw that. Like, that just doesn't seem fun.
Yeah. I mean, the All-Star Weekend teams are in already, so we can kind of see, maybe get a glimpse of what it could be or how LeBron James is kind of maybe, in some words, recruiting people and free agents. So if they say, well, you know what, it's not as bad if we're going to win, it might be worth it.
Maybe. Who's on LeBron's team for All-Star Weekend?
James Harden, Kawhi, Klay Thompson, KD, and Kyrie, and a bunch of other people.
Oh, so Kyrie's on the team, huh? All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, he could recruit Kyrie. I mean, he could be like, why do you want to go to New York? Playing for James Dolan's the worst. Like, look at how bad they've been since going to the finals in 99.
Same thing they did with Carmelo with you.
Oh, God. Speaking of Carmelo, because, you know, the Lakers are probably going to get, like, one or two buyout guys.
Yes.
And one of them was Carmelo Anthony, and I'm trying to figure out why. I don't understand what bringing Melo would do, because Melo's clearly washed.
I agree with you, yes. Like, he's getting old. It's not the same. He's been inconsistent for the past 2 or 3 years. So I don't know why Lakers would go. But from what I've heard, they're kind of more considering Markieff Morris.
Ooh.
Yeah, yes. So it's kind of like a similar version of Carmelo, but
not, yeah,
more plays better defense.
Yeah, well, he plays defense. Well, it doesn't play defense. I mean, looking back at Oklahoma City, he was a black hole just when they're in that Jazz series in round one. Like, yep. You know, and then everyone thought, oh, cool, he'll, you know what, he'll just go to the Rockets. He was a bad fit with Westbrook and George. The Rockets is perfect. All you have to do is stand there and shoot. Harden will get you the ball. And he couldn't do that, you know?
Yeah.
They had to buy him out. And it's like, man, it's over. Like, there's no Olympic Melo. There's no hoodie Melo. He's just washed Melo. And it's sad, but, you know, Melo can't even shoot shoot threes anymore, as you saw in OKC. So I don't
know. Yeah, no. Yeah, I can't see it happening. I can't, and then maybe they might go with Morris, but Morris also he's injured right now. He's hurt.
Oh, he's the one with the neck injury.
So I guess it's just depending on what his health exam says, whether they pick him up or not. So I mean, if these are the only options you have, what would you go with? So
I mean, there's a couple other buyout guys, though, I think, because like I think the Knicks are buying out Enes Kanter, and I think there's like one or two other guys that came over in various trades that are going to be bought out eventually. I forget who, because the trade deadline was just one big NBA 2K ask. But
yeah,
I know there's going to be some guys on the market one way or the other. I did. So the Lakers shouldn't just look at Melo and go, ooh, remember, he's famous, let's get him.
Yeah, no. I think the Lakers need to take their time and not rush
without
having taken all options into consideration first.
Yeah, what's the point?
Exactly. They're just, I don't want it to be like, oh yeah, you know, LeBron James spoke really nicely of Melo, so we're going to keep him.
Yeah.
If they do end up getting Carmelo, that's going to be the storyline. So no matter what, I feel like LeBron James is still going to be in the middle of it, you know? And if Melo sucks, well, it's LeBron James' fault for being his friend.
He was the one that recruited him. And then even with LeBron, though, people are kind of saying he tampered, because that's how they got Tyson Chandler. Because Jason Jones runs, is the GM of the Suns for some reason. And they were tight in Miami. So that's why, like, they just gift drafted him Tyson Chandler instead of, like, letting Tyson Chandler be a trade piece for yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Like, with LeBron, there's a lot of stuff like that. Like, that's, like, he's the only one where there's, like, whispers of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a lot of whispers.
It is a lot of, like, it's a fun, like, NBA Reddit thing to just, like, look at all the stuff, like, LeBron is just connected to. And that's why the Pelicans got mad, because it's like, your guys are clearly tampering. Like, we see what you're doing, Rich Paul, and we don't like it. Yeah. You're not obligated to get Anthony Davis because you want him.
You see, But see, that's where I think, okay, they find him, right? But how much money is Anthony Davis going to leave on the table to be traded and to not re-sign with the
Well, if,
that's
so,
a lot of money.
So wait,
so the, I think it has to do more with where he wants to actually go than tampering.
So, well, I know, but that's just it, because of like, is like, you know, how just how people are with the Lakers too. But like, tampering is kind of a problem league wide, but like with LeBron, because it's LeBron, it carries a little bit more weight. But with Davis, the big reason why they would have wanted to trade for him now, besides being the fact that Boston can't submit any trade offers until the summer, is, you know, Davis plays out the year and a half he has with the Lakers, and then he signs a Supermax. You know, like that'd be the idea, because then he's eligible for it at that point.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So he wouldn't be leaving money on the table. It's, well, I'm playing out the contract I have in, with New Orleans anyway, and then with the Lakers, I can sign my Supermax, which they will give to me because I'm Anthony Davis.
Of course.
I mean, it might still happen. Like, July is a long way away, and who knows what's going to happen between now and the playoffs, but, man, like, it worries me because, like, I mean, even if he tells Boston, like, I'm like, you can trade for me, but I'm going to leave after my deal's up, they'll be like, fine. Like, you know, we'll convince you to, we'll find a way to convince you to stay if we win a title, or fine, like, your contract will come off our books and we'll just have more resources.
Yeah. We all have to wait and see. It's going to be an interesting summer.
I know. And that's the thing that kind of drives me nuts. Like, I love about the NBA, but it also drives me nuts sometimes. It's like, we can't ever stay in the present. Like, the trade deadline's over. Already, like, well, cool. Like, now in July, where's Kyrie going to go? Rather than, like, well, let's see what Kyrie does with the Celtics. It's always, when's Kyrie going to leave talks, rather than Kyrie had a good game tonight or Kyrie had a bad game tonight.
Yeah, no, definitely. The NBA has kind of evolved into a 365
I know.
Game. So you're always on NBA, or you're always on lock with whatever's happening, if it's either a game or a trade or what's going to happen in the future. But I agree with you. Yeah, like, we should take our time and just enjoy the game for now.
Right, because, like, it's fun, you know, because the games themselves are great. Like, you know, it's been a great year. I mean, like, you look at what Harden's been doing, like, look at all the, like, what the Warriors have been able to keep doing, and, you know, and so on and so forth. And then, but everything's through the prism of where's X player going next.
Yeah. It's been a really good year for, oh, wait, what did you ask me? Sorry.
No, nothing. I was going to say something, and I was like, oh, wait, no, you were making a point.
No, yeah, well, because I was going to add to your point. I think you're right. Like, I think as fans and as people of the NBA, we need to take our time and watch these games and actually watch them play. Like you said, there's really good players out there. The Warriors are playing really good basketball right now, and it's kind of something historic that we might not see for, like, a couple years. And so the fact that we're just, like, skimming through it and just going, like, free agency, oh, trade deadline.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, missing the point. Yeah.
Because even with the Warriors, everything's through the prism of, well, they had a really good game tonight. Maybe this is what convinces KD to stay. Or, well, they look kind of out of sorts tonight. Could there be more KD drama? It's like, I mean, some of that's on KD, too, because he's always signing, like, 1 or 2 year deals, which is what LeBron did, too, with Cleveland. So that's where you get a lot of the chaos also. Is it always just seems like you're competing every year just to keep him.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's been a good...
That might be the future of contracts. We never know.
Well, that's why you've had a lot of trades yesterday, too, is because all the contracts are no more than 5 years. Whereas, like, you know, the old days, like, you said, like, 6 or 7 year deals like Gilbert Arenas, so they were harder to move.
Yeah, and then it's funny because then players get mad. Well, not mad, but then there's, like, the rumors about, like, players demanding trades because
they're
on a team or they want to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, you're not signing contracts that give you that length of time.
Right.
So it's like it kind of contradicts itself. And you don't have players that stay with one team anymore. It's kind of like a rarity.
And then conversely, a lot of owners don't want to do the huge supermaxes because they're looking at the John Walls of the world and going, oh, my God, like, if this is going super south super fast and we can't move this, no one's going to trade for it. Like, Blake Griffin, the Clippers are lucky the Pistons were able to or were willing to make a trade, because that contract might have, like, burned them for a long time. Oh, you know? Yeah. So it's kind of a two-way thing. And then
for great players, those max contracts, super long ones, like, work well. But then you also, like you said, it's a gamble. So you really don't know who it's going to work for, who it's not. You think it's going to work, and then it doesn't work, and then you don't think it's going to work.
Right, because you don't know who that person is going to be in 5 years. Yeah. It's kind of a weird thing. Like, there's hasn't been a happy medium, because you have guys like KD that take super front-loaded short-term deals, but then there's always the cloud of, where am I going to go next? But then you also don't want to get locked into, like, John Wall, where it's like, he's falling apart, and our team's going to be in cap hell forever, which is why they made all the trades they did just to get the tax. Like,
And you can't do nothing about it.
The only Supermax that's quietly worked out so far is Chris Paul, but even then, there's a detonator on that, because he's not aging well.
He hasn't won a championship either, so.
No, he hasn't won a championship, but it's also like, God, in year 3 and 4, this deal's going to, he's going to be making like $35-40 million, and he's going to be in his late. He's like, oh, what are you going to do with that? Like, lucky for them, they have Harden, too.
Exactly. Because then, if there you go, in 3 or 4 years, if nothing happened out of that contract, then it's just going to be like, well,
it looks worse.
These contracts out, yeah.
All right. Are you going to be covering All-Star Weekend, or are you just going to be in L.A. for it?
No, I'm not going to be covering All-Star Weekend. I wish. It's too expensive to go all the way over there. I would have loved it, but no. I'm
going to
be staying in L.A. I'm going to cover a couple of Clipper games, since we only have few games this month. Yeah,
that's right.
And hopefully in March, I'll be back for Lakers games.
That's right, because every February, it's the Grammy road trip, right?
Yes, sir.
Nice. How's it been being at Staples for most of the year?
It's pretty great. It's pretty awesome. It's a learning experience. I get to meet people who I enjoy following their work, and then I get to meet the players and kind of see them through a different lens, just because on TV, I don't know if it's just me, but it just looks so different. And then you kind of see them and you feel like, wow, they're actual human beings.
Wait, can you do a little name dropping for me?
What's up?
Like, who in the media have you gotten to meet? I want names.
Okay. Let's see. So I have met ESPN's Alan Silva.
Okay.
Really nice. I have also, at a Clippers game, I talked to Lee Jenkins, who used to write for Sports Illustrated.
Oh, I know Lee Jenkins. I read him a lot in high school.
Yeah. So I actually met him when I went to school at USC. He came in as a guest speaker, and then so now I kind of see him a lot more often just because of the Clippers games.
Right.
And then just recently for the last game, I met Michael Wilbon, who was very nice.
Oh, wow. You met him?
Yeah, he was very nice. He actually gave me his seat to watch the rest of the game. So it's really nice meeting these people, and they're all as nice as I think they are. So that's
cool.
A really great experience. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. The players are nice to you, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what? Players are very respectful. All of them. Because I've only been into, like, I don't want to say most of them and then, like, speculations. All of them have been very nice, very respectful.
That's good.
And that's why it kind of gets a different vibe, because you're really there with the players and you feel like, wow, they're actual human people. And they're actually, you know, it's like real time.
Have you gotten to meet LeVar?
No. And I hope I don't. He's just such a character.
Know he'd talk to you.
I would probably just laugh. My God. I would not be professional.
Well, he's not a professional either. He still has shoes that have been delivered.
No, yeah, I hope not, but...
That's cool. So how's the show been with Bronna?
I'm sorry?
I said, how's it been since you've had your own show?
Oh, it's been good. It's been good. You know, I can't complain. I love talking sports, basketball, so...
Because I've had your co-host Bronna on here before talking Clippers, and I figured both of you would probably make a good show together.
Oh, yeah. I love Bronna. She's so smart, and, like, the way she talks about basketball, like, a different point of view. And then sometimes, since, I don't know, I feel like we are both girls, so we're doing, like, the sports thing, and it's kind of fun having somebody who is like you and is working towards the same goal. So I really love having her and talking with her.
No, I'm really proud of both of you guys, and I'm really glad I got to have you both before you got good at podcasting.
Oh, thank you.
So then I didn't look worse by comparison. But anyway.
No.
So the All-Star game is what, next Sunday, right?
Yes.
What's the biggest thing you're watching for?
I'm going to be watching LeBron James's team play. I want to see the chemistry. I want to see if it works or not, you know, because who knows? That might be the Lakers' starting lineup in the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, not everybody. They're not getting Klay. They're not getting KD. But Kyrie might be nice. Who knows?
We'll see. That's what I'm going to look out for.
It's a long shot, but I'm guessing he'll be a Knick, possibly with KD. Anyway, Leslie, thank you for joining me. I'm sorry it's taken so long to get you back on, but, you know, football kind of dominated this pod for a while, and it won't for the foreseeable future. But anyway, you can listen to Leslie Torres-Valadez on the what's the name of your show again?
West Coast Mix and Bounce.
Yeah, West Coast Mix and Bounce.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. You can hear more of Leslie on the Sports Audente Podcast Network. And I'm pleased to announce we're also part of the Pulse Podcast Network. For me, I'm Chauncey Talese. This has been LA Cut Podvidential. Have a great night. Take care, Leslie.
Bye-bye.